Brands on Brands.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This week, we're talking all about email marketing and building memberships with Liz Wilcox, the fresh princess of email marketing. Check it out.
In a world where content is king and your reputation is your brand, how do you build a brand that matters? Welcome to Brands on Brands, a home for those that think different and push their boundaries. This is where branding that matters lives. Now, here is your host, Brandon Berkmeyer.
Hey, hey, what's up? Welcome to Brands on Brands. I'm Brandon Berkmeyer, your personal branding coach, and today is an interview show. That's right. We have Liz Wilcox on the show today, the fresh princess of email marketing. We are diving into all things email marketing. We're also talking about paid subscriptions, memberships, and how to do that as a personal brand. If you don't know Liz Wilcox, she's an email strategist, a keynote speaker, who shows small businesses how to build online relationships and make money with emails. She's best known for selling a blog, turning a $9 offer into multiple six figures without ads, and helping you untangle the email knot with her simple framework. The email staircase is what she calls it. We dive into it today and much more. She loves the 90s, hence the name, the Fresh Princess of Email Marketing. She's a lot of personality. I met her in person and can't wait to share my interview with her today. My biggest takeaways, well, she's got me thinking about how can I use newsletters more in my business? How can I get people to subscribe to those newsletters and potentially develop that into a paid membership? That's all I got for you. Check out the interview. Here we go.
Brands on Brands.
All right, let's get going. I'm so excited to welcome our guest, Liz Wilcox, to the show today. First off, Liz, thanks for being here.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I've made it. This is really exciting.
You've made it. Yeah, I was like, oh, I have to get her on my show. We met in person at PodFest, and the Fresh Prince of Email Marketing, as the branding says, and I was like, this is the personality that you bring to the table in person, but then online that matches. I was like, I have to have her on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. That's something I don't talk about a lot, but I don't want to say I worked really hard on my branding, but I worked hard enough, and I created a couple brands before this that weren't fully in alignment. And so when I knew I was creating my personal brand, I was like, this is going to be the most Liz Wilcox thing that ever Liz Wilcoxed. So thanks for the compliment.
No, it shone through. I mean, your personality completely matches. You're so fun to be around. So I was like, we're friends. Let's do this. Whether you like it or not, we are connected.
Well, I like it.
Yeah, me too. So the reason that I think our show audience is going to be excited today is that we get to talk about email marketing, maybe a little bit about memberships. And I feel like everyone talks about the importance of email marketing, but not everyone walks the walk, if you know what I mean. But even the people that do walk the walk, I don't know if everyone does it well. So first of all, why do you think email is so important? And then why aren't most people doing it well?
Yeah. So raise your hand if you were alive in 2022. I know you're driving, you're doing the dishes, something like that. I think you were alive back then. And keep your hand raised if you remember when a billionaire bought a social media platform and suddenly it's got a different name, a different logo. It's lost all of its sponsors and advertising, and it's kind of lost a lot of its users too, right? That's why we need email marketing. As businesses, as brands, we need to own the eyeballs, so to speak, right? If you had built your entire following, your entire audience on that little blue bird that no longer exists, you might be wondering, where the heck are my people now? How can I connect with them? And you have to go searching for them, right? But with an email list, you own that list. People opt in. Yes, I want to hear more from Brandon. I want to hear more from Liz. And so it's very consent-based, and it's not like, you know, building on borrowed land. You own that email list, and you have a lot more control of your brand and the direction that it's going when you have emails.
Yeah, I agree. And I still call it Twitter because it's weird calling something X and no one knows what you're talking about. Like, I was on X the other day. What do you mean? You know, like, it's so out of context. So I just keep calling it Twitter, and like, they've messed it up. That's on them.
Yeah, it's,
you know, that's on them.
It's something else. Side note about branding. Elon Musk, apparently there's a rumor that he wanted to name PayPal X, like he wanted to rename it. And his, you know, peers, colleagues, whatever, co-owners were like, nah, dog, that's a no for me. I've heard enough. So now he's just in control. But back to email, asked me. Oh, okay.
No, this is great. I don't mind tangents. I would love to imagine that what really happened is, like a lot of us do, he is a domain, what's it called? Shopper.
Like a hoarder.
And bought a lot of domains and happened to get the one letter domain X and was like, I have to use this for something. And he just keeps shoehorning it in.
Listen, this is why we pay Brandon the big bucks for branding, because that's how his brain works. I think he's totally spot on. That's probably exactly what happened. He's like, X is a cool letter. I'm going to buy X.com. Holy crap. I can't believe I own X.com. What am I going to use it for?
It's costing me so much money.
Gosh, that's hysterical. Yeah. Right, right.
If he had landed on a planet with one of his rockets, he would have named that first moon X or whatever that he had landed on.
Right. I mean, you know, he might still, could just brand it, have a giant stamper.
But I'll do the job of bringing us back on course, because I shouldn't force you, the guest, to have to do that. You are in my home. I should treat you as such with all the warmth and welcomeness. So what I think our audience wants to know is, in the email world, it seems easy, but then you start to do it and you hit a bit of a wall. Why aren't more people doing this well?
Well, it feels complicated, right? We get our emails and we see a lot of different types of emails in our inbox, right? We have bills, we have spammers, we have, you know, people like Liz and Brandon, and then we have, you know, the big names in there, and it just feels like this thing, this knot we can't untangle. Whereas with social media, we can kind of see patterns. We can see what's working for people. We can quite literally see the likes and the comments and the response to people's posts. You can't see if someone like me is sending out an email, whether or not it's any good. You only have your opinion of it. There's no social proof of whether or not I made money from that sales email that I sent you, right? And so it can feel really, really complicated. The second thing is, a lot of email marketers, a lot of marketers in general, and this is where I'm going to get burned at the stake one day. This is like marketing hearsay. They'll tell you to tell stories. But, you know, honestly, you probably didn't get in business to be a storyteller. Sure, people are naturally storytellers. Brandon and I just went on this tangent about Elon Musk, right? It was a great time. We want to tell stories, but a lot of us aren't really good at it. Hence, even me trying to bring Brandon back to the topic. Y'all, I have been on so many podcasts, and a lot of hosts, you know, they're just getting started and they don't know how to bring it back, right? They haven't mastered the art of hosting yet, right? So sorry to Brandon. He's great. Leave him 5 stars. Pause it right now. But we often think we have to tell these stories because that's the only advice we're getting from marketers, especially email marketers. And so when we try to do that, we try to sit down, again, all those feelings of this is complicated, this sucks, I don't want to bother these people come up. And that's why, you know, email marketing is often done incorrectly.
Well, you know, I think there's two challenges that people run across, and we could tackle them however you want. I think one is just the idea of getting people's emails. And then once you get them, it's the, oh, I got to send something now consistently. Uh-oh. Let's start with I think we already started with the storytelling part of it. So let's dive into once you've got the email list built, maybe we'll talk about how to build it later. Now you've got to write this thing all the time. So what are some strategies you have that help people that you've seen actually get them motivated to write emails?
Well, speaking directly to get you motivated to write emails, email is a money-making activity. I don't know how else to put it. Once you, and I say it with love, once you realize that, you will do it. It's the same as, you know, you're working with Brandon. Once you realize, like, oh, my brand is off and it's losing me money, guess who you're going to go to, right? It's the same reason you're listening to this podcast. And so when you can fully understand, okay, email is a money-making activity. No, maybe it's not going to make me money right away. I'm not going to be, you know, this big giant email marketer right away. But you have to start laying the bricks, right? You have to start reaching out to your audience, connecting with them, and then the money will come later. So that's the first part. But what do you put in these emails, to Brandon's point? Well, I teach something called the email staircase. First, you've got a follower, then you turn them into a friend, and then you turn them into a customer. So you've got these followers, you can get them on your list, and we can talk about that in a second. But then you turn them into friends, because people buy from people they trust. And if you have an inbox friend, they're going to trust you. They're going to be more apt to buy. So within this framework, when you create a friend in the inbox, you just have to do three things. The first one is stay top of mind. We already talked about that. You've got to be emailing, right? The second thing is show you're invested, right? People want to know that you care about the vision you have, right? My vision for you is you make money with email marketing. I don't care about your podcast. I don't care about your branding. I don't care about anything else. All I care about is your email list, right? That's very clear. I say things like, I just read this book. Here's the synopsis, so you don't have to read it, right? Especially with email marketing. Trust me, you don't want to read an email marketing book. They're complicated. Just come to me, right? It's, I bought a new laptop so I can work while I'm traveling without it breaking down. I got a new camera so I can make better videos for you. I got a brand new podcast mic, right? So I sound better, right? All these things. I spent 8 hours working on this course. You might think, oh, they don't really care about that stuff, Liz. They came to me for tips and tricks or discounts or whatever, but they do. People will not invest in you if they don't know you are invested in them. So share those things in your newsletters. The second thing is be relatable. And no, I didn't say be interesting. Being interesting is when we get into that storytelling mindset and it becomes really complicated. You know, celebrities are interesting. We're just regular people. So just be relatable. This is things like sharing, you know, after I get off this call or after I email, I've got to go to the airport. I'm going on spring break with my family. That's something incredibly relatable, right? Saying, oh, I just took my dog for a walk before I sat down to email you. My refrigerator broke. Ooh, you know, the pool's almost ready for summertime. Just those little itty bitty personal updates that you would tell a friend if you were getting on the phone with them. Oh yeah, you know, just took a dog for the walk. For a walk, what's up with you, right? Those little conversation starters are enough to be relatable.
Yeah, I love the idea of being relatable. I think that that comes through definitely in your personality, in the emails that you write, and in how you teach people. I'd love to hear more about how you came to have that mentality, how email marketing started to take off for you. Because this show is for personal brands, people who want to do it for themselves. So when you were doing that for yourself, like, when did you start to see, oh, this is something I'm good at and this is working?
Yeah. So like I alluded to earlier, I actually started as an RV travel blogger. This is my third business that I'm doing now. And my ideal audience were men in their 60s. And I thought, how am I going to talk to these people? Like, I'm not a man in my 60s. I think at the time I was in my 20s when I had that blog. And I just realized, you know, the same way, because I was a travel blogger. So you walk around the campground, you start to talk to people, right? And, oh yeah, we went here, we went there. And I realized, oh, we're just relating to each other. We're finding these points in our travels where I can relate, where I could hang out with, you know, somebody from New York City on a Saturday night, you know, having a drink over a campfire, but we have so much in common. And I was able to bring that into my emails. And just like I mentioned, that short personal update, 2 to 3 sentences about something you've done since the last time you emailed them. It's that relatability. Oh, I went here. I did this. Oh, the weather is really awful outside. I know a lot of marketers, especially I've seen very big email marketers say, cut the fluff. No small talk in your emails. And I almost cringe because I'm like, wait, no, that's how most people connect, is through small talk, right? You want to be in your emails, especially in your personal brand. You don't want to be a sage on the stage. You want to be a guide on the side. So including that sort of small talk before you get into your program, your course, your new Instagram reel, whatever you're promoting that day, is actually incredibly vital and important to building that know, like, and trust.
Yeah, I think I like that, because first it was, don't do storytelling. And now it's, well, what do I do instead? And I like the idea of, well, you still want to be personal, because if we're personal brands, people are gravitating towards you for some reason. And they want to get to know you a little bit better. So I like the idea of dropping a little bit of reality into the context of the email, but you don't have to go crazy with it. It's just like this little glance into, hey, I'm a real person. I like that.
Yeah, I love what Brandon just said about don't go crazy with it. Listen, it's a newsletter, not a novel. Just get in, get to the point, and get out. That actually shows that you respect your reader. And when you actually have something longer, like you have a long sales email, or you have one of those, you know, stories you really want to tell your audience, they are more prone to listen because you've been respecting them each and every week in the inbox by just, you know, having that relatability piece. Again, you're a personal brand. You need that for sure. And then just getting to the point, and, you know, you both can go on with your day after that.
I love that. And I want people to know that you're not just kind of sharing ideas that you think will work. Liz has an amazing email about email marketing, and that's not something easy for people to want to be like subscribing to generally. I mean, it's marketing talk, right? I don't think that's like the most fun subject. It's like meditations or whatever it might be, or comedy, right? But people are signing up and they're paying you. They're paying, you have a $9 a month subscription that provides, and I'll let you explain it better than I do, a service. And I'd like to know how that kind of took off for you and how it's doing today. Cause I think it's interesting. And I know a lot of people don't realize that they could be making money off of sharing their tips every week or month.
Yeah. I mean, amen to that. So I have, like Brandon said, a really low cost membership. It's $9 a month. And every single week, you just get a piece of content. You get a weekly newsletter template. So essentially, it's kind of like a paid newsletter, right? Where they're getting these tips, these tricks, these little mini trainings every single week, because each template comes with like a 3 to 5 minute video, right? And what I love about what Brandon just said, like, you don't even realize it. For me, coming to that conclusion was, what can I give my subscribers to get them to start taking action, right? As a personal brand, as a business owner, that's the most important part of your job, right? It's, you know, if I can get these people to take action, they'll probably tell other people about me, right? And so for me, it was just knowing there was this gap in the market. A lot of email marketers, and maybe, you know, you're some kind of service provider right now. A lot of us service providers, we get this advice of, well, don't talk to the beginners, because, you know, they don't have a lot of money. Talk to the people that can hire you for the one-on-one service, you know, charge really high rates so you attract those, you know, premier luxury clients. And I was like, well, premier luxury clients, that takes a lot of time, but I know I can talk to that, you know, to everybody. I love talking to people, and especially beginners. And so I found that gap in the market where people weren't really talking a lot about newsletters. It was kind of, you know, Brandon said it best at the top of the hour about, how do you even know where to start, what to say, right? Everyone's kind of scrambling, writing emails that don't work every week, which is why email feels so, you know, crappy, right? And so I said, well, I could solve this problem. And I said, hey, $9 a month, I'll send it to you every single week. And yeah, it's turned into this sort of paid newsletter membership. And I know that, you know, you listening out there, there's got to be some little tiny gap in the market that you can fill, or even, you know, just, hey, I want you to take action. So put money down every single week, every day, whatever you decided. I'm going to give you these little mini tips, these little baby steps to get you where you're going. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited at the prospect of you doing that.
Well, so a membership, right, they're going in and they can now access these templates that you've been adding. And then there's this archive of all these useful things that they could have, which is bigger than just getting an email and it being kind of lost in your inbox. I have a place they can go and find all the things. I'm curious, when you're sending messages or, you know, emails to the people who've subscribed to your membership versus people who haven't. Are those two different emails, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, y'all, I keep it so simple. I'm nothing if not an efficient chick. If it takes three steps, I'm out. Like, I'm two steps only. And so honestly, my members do get my weekly newsletter, unless it's a newsletter specifically for the membership, right? A sales email for the membership. They are going to get the membership newsletter, right? Hey, here's the content of the week. Here's what you need to know. And then the next day they do get my weekly newsletter. And that's because, again, it goes back to, it stems back to that desire for me to get them to take action. And my newsletter isn't fluff. It's not just always, oh, buy my thing, right? Although I am mentioning my membership very often, I want people, on top of the content they're getting in the membership, I want to continue to give them those baby steps, those extra tips, those personal updates, right? I need to keep relating to them at the same time, just because they've given me the money, right? And they're getting the content. I need to keep them in that, oh, I know Liz. I like her personal brand. You know, she is the one for me, right? So that they stay inside the membership.
I love that. And I think a lot of people right now are probably getting excited about, you know, I didn't think about I could create something that I could be sending people that they would pay me to send them. So I think, you know, if people can go back and listen, it wasn't complicated. You can create something simple. Yes, maybe other people have done the thing that you've done. Like, you weren't the first person to create email templates. These are things that are out there, but people like Liz. They're like, well, I've heard Liz on Brandon's podcast. Like, she seemed to be someone that was be fun to learn from. I'll go with her. And the same thing I think could happen for the audience. If they can find the people around them that like them, it doesn't have to be completely innovative and different. It just has to be useful.
I love that. And yes, when you have a personal brand, injecting you into everything you do is important. I've had people join the membership and stay and say, well, I just like you. In fact, I had a member on a live Q&A. I got really nervous. This is a fun little story. She gets on the microphone. Hey, Liz, I've been in your membership for over a year and I've never used it. And I was like, oh no, this is the public like crucifixion. Like, something's about to go down. And I said, oh, well, you know, thank you. And can I help you? She said, I just wanted you to know that I knew I didn't need this thing, but I just love you so much. And I love your passion for this topic. It helped me keep it top of mind so that when I was ready, you know, I could attend this call. And then she asked the question. And I was like, well, I don't want you to buy if you're not going to use it. I guess I should start a Patreon, right? Like, just, you know, something for the brand. But that does happen. You know, it's, of course, you want to give something useful, like Brandon said. But when you inject you into it, people will buy, will stick around because they like you. In fact, I've even had people that, oh, I don't really need this, or I'm going to buy this more expensive thing. And then they come back and they say, oh, that was too complicated. You know, turns out I need those little baby bricks that you're giving me over here. And they come back.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think what my wheels are turning, but what I think I'm getting most curious about is, if I want people to get on this email list, you know, A, what are your recommendations? But B, I kind of want to hear how you did it and if it's the same. But maybe we start with, like, what are your recommendations for kind of growing your list when you're getting started?
Yeah. So the first thing I want you to know is you don't have to stress about paid ads. You can do this organically. I've never run an ad before in my life. I was actually on a call teaching about memberships the other day, and someone he literally said in front of everyone, I don't believe you. I've never run a business without running ads. I said, well, welcome to my world, baby. So I don't want you to stress about paid ads, but I do want you to offer a really great incentive, right? Some people call it an opt-in, a lead magnet, a freebie. But basically what it is, it's just a way to incentivize people to join your email list, right? And I want you to think about the vision you have for your students or clients, right? Like, if you, if if Brandon is walking across the stage of UU University, like, what is that degree that he, you know, you're handing him, right? For me, if you're walking across my stage, you just got a degree in making money with email marketing. Remember, we talked about that vision a couple minutes ago. And then I want you to work backwards. What's that first day of class look like, right? What resource or what assignment do you need to give them so that one day they're going to be walking across your stage and you're going to be handing them that degree, right? That's the incentive. That's the lead magnet. For example, if I'm making money with email, what's the first thing I need on the first day of class? Well, I need a welcome sequence, right? I need to know what to say once these people get on my list. And so that is my lead magnet. That's what I'm going to give you, right? And so think about, again, that vision you have for your students, clients, members, whatever, and take it all the way back to the first day of class. That's what you should give them to incentivize. Any thoughts on that before I go on?
I mean, I want to know what's in the welcome sequence, but I'm going to have to download it to find out.
Yeah, LizWilcox.com. Brandon is good. He is good. Okay, so once we've got that incentive, how do we get people on the list? Well, it's like, you know, do you remember Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, Tia and Tamara, like all those twins in the 90s? It's like that. With visibility, like getting visible and growing your list, they go hand in hand. I know that they're different, but I can't really tell them apart, right? Kind of like identical twins. And so you've got to get visible in your business. You can do this in a lot of different ways. I'm on this podcast right now. You know, we just name dropped my freebie, right? And so that's a great, great way, especially when you have a personal brand and you have a strong personal brand, to get in people's ears. Oh my gosh, it's awesome. I think I've been on over 300 podcasts in the last few years. I think this is my sixth one this week. I love podcast guesting, but you might think, oh gosh, that's so cringy. I could never do that. Maybe it's guest blogging. Maybe it's just networking. Hey, Brandon, I know you've got an email list. Can you send them out my freebie? And I'm going to send your freebie out to my list. Things like that are really, really great ways to grow your list. Brandon, I'd love to turn the tables. How do you grow your list?
How dare you?
If anything. How dare you, he says. I'm just having fun here.
Well, obviously paid ads, right? That's the only way to do this.
I mean, you can run paid ads, and even another paid, or not paid ads, but even running ads to newsletters, doing Instagram lives with people, things like that. As long as you're always pointing back to the freebie, to the incentive, those are all good things.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, because you asked a question, I don't want to just give a sarcastic answer. Briefly, I think I'm always thinking the world of three things, because I don't think it's anyone, but it's either content, community, or impact. What I mean by that is either I'm making something that I'm sharing with the world everywhere I can. So I could be writing a blog and trying to get people to read it, or creating a video on YouTube, trying to get people to watch, but I'm creating something and sharing it in all the places it can be shared, like guesting. Or I am engaged in my community, which means I'm networking with the local groups that have things in common with me. Like I'm part of the speakers associations, the marketing associations, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I'm networking in person. I'm shaking hands. I'm, you know, developing relationships. I'm getting recommendations and referrals. I'm going to conferences. So there's a community piece of this that I think people overlook, which is marketing. Because in a personal branding world, I think you have to be out there actually getting to know people.
I love that.
And then the third piece for me is, I call it impact. I think you actually have to help people. You got to put things out there that are useful and share them in different ways. And I think that's what you've done. I think you've built something that inherently is useful and it's simple, but people need it.
I love that. I love what Brandon said about the impact piece, because yeah, I could go on 300 podcasts, but if what I'm doing behind the scenes, what I'm doing after that isn't making an impact, you know, it's going to be lackluster, we'll say. It'll be lackluster, right? I love that word. That's a new word for me that I'm trying out.
Lackluster.
You heard it here first. And so when you find that one subscriber, right, how do we turn that one into two, three? I mean, even with the podcast, right? How did I turn one into two opportunities. I'm trying to do my best job, right? And so it's the same in, and I'm glad you're listening to this podcast because now you know kind of what to say in your inbox so that when you get one subscriber, they're going to share with their friends. So I love that.
So how did you get on 6 podcasts or whatever this week?
I have no idea. I met Brandon at an event. I just am doing a lot of word of mouth. So something that I know about me and my personal brand is if I can get in front of someone, I can make an impression. And so a lot of times when I'm doing, you know, a podcast like this one, I try to do the best job I can do so that Brandon says, hey, I've got a friend, right? And usually I'm so bold as to say, hey, do you have a friend? Especially when I was first starting out and I knew that this was the way I wanted to build my email list, I was very bold. I would say, hey, do you know anyone? Or we get off a call, hey, if you've got a group, I could come in and do a training. And then suddenly I've turned that one opportunity into two, right? And so then, you know, somebody might be on that call. They say, oh, Liz did a good job. I want her for my community, right? And so it just spreads like that.
I love it. Now, I want to just pick and see if there's something else here. What else besides podcast guesting would you attribute to some of the growth you've seen?
Well, number one, going back to what Brandon just said about impact, I think the product that I have and even my free newsletters, I put a lot of thought. And by a lot of thought, it's not like I'm lamenting over them and, you know, spending hours and hours, but I know who my customer is. I know what they need and I want to deliver it in the simplest way possible. And especially for something like email that feels complicated, if I'm able to give it to them very simply, they stick around, right? The second thing that's directly related to that impact is an affiliate program. So if you promote my thing, I give you 50% of that $9. So you're making $4.50. In fact, my affiliates, because I'm paying fees, they get paid more than I do for the sale, right? But I love that because it goes back to that impact. I want to help you. My whole thing is helping people make money. So the affiliate program makes sense. I'm helping them make money, even if it's just $4.50 at a time. I just did my payouts. Actually, they went out today, mid-March. And, you know, I paid out 100 people like $3,000, right? So it adds up for sure. When I opened up that affiliate program, because I had been creating a product that actually made an impact on so many people, that affiliate program got really full. And whenever I do a push, hey guys, it's my membership's third birthday. Can you put this out? Y'all, my membership's third birthday, I had a sale for $3. You would think, what is the point of making $1.50, right? But I think 40% of my sales, I made 300 sales that week, about 350 actually. And I think about 40% of them, well over 100 of them were from affiliates for that $1.50. But it's because of the impact that that program creates for them and has for them that people are willing to promote it. So I think those two things go really well hand in hand.
I like that. And I think some people worry like about low price product. They're like, oh, if you sell a book, well, you got to sell this many of them to make any money. But this is recurring revenue. This is someone who signed up and saying, I'm looking forward to what you've got going on next. And once you have someone subscribed, you don't have to keep selling that one person. You can now, they're there and they exist and they continue. And then you're just like, well, how do I keep accumulating so this grows and grows and grows?
Yeah. Can I say something
Please.
About that? So with the membership, not everyone should have a super low ticket membership. And for Liz Wilcox, I've got, you know, my membership and that's pretty much it. I do one-off workshops, but I love my membership. It's turned into pretty much my whole business model. But you might use it as a way to create customers. And here's what you got to know about customers. Remember that word Brandon said earlier, community? Well, here's the thing. What I've found, community does not create customers. Anyone can have 100,000 YouTube subscribers and have a community and have to manage that, right? Customers create the community because here's what customers do. When someone purchases, Number one, they're now invested, right? I'm going to work on this thing. I'm going to work on my email. Then they take action. And that's the best community member, right? The one that's actually doing the thing you're telling them they should probably try, right? And the third thing that the customer does is he shares with his friends, right? And so again, that customer actually creates the community. And chances are you might actually, this might be, you know, light bulb, because maybe you've got a big Facebook group of 5,000, but nobody ever, you know, clicks. You're the one driving all the engagement, right? Or maybe you've got 40,000 followers on Instagram, but you'll be darned if anybody clicks on those links in your stories, right? It's because they're not customers. So customers actually can create this amazing community where everybody's invested in that vision we talked about. Everybody's enrolled in that degree, right? They want that degree. Everyone is taking action on the things that you're sharing. And then they, you know, in turn, share with friends.
Within your community, I'm curious, is all of the content recreated and pre-recorded, or are you doing like live sessions here or there for the group too?
Most of it is pre-recorded Monday morning. You know, you get this template, this video. You know, I made that months ago. In fact, I spent all this morning working 2 months in advance. But we do have a live component. I do a live Q&A once a month. That's where you come. It's usually like 90 minutes long, and I'll answer, you know, questions till the cows come home. It's actually my favorite part of the membership because, again, I get to see that community. I get to see the impact I'm making, which, of course, makes me feel good. And I get to help them, you know, take their next best step. And I just added, this is something we're experimenting with, another live component, tech calls. So I'm not a tech expert. So certain people will come, oh, well, how do you do this in ConvertKit? Or do you work with MailChimp? And I'm like, oh my gosh, ask the Facebook group because I don't know. And so I've just hired someone, but granted, this was after 3 years. I've hired someone to come in as our resident tech expert. And that's another live component. But that's pretty much it. Y'all, I'm not doing YouTube. I'm not going live in the Facebook group. In fact, the Facebook group, because it's full of customers, it pretty much runs itself. I go in there and I post, hey, I got this new podcast I was on. Hey, don't forget, I believe in you. You know, I do a lot of encouragement posts, but I don't do a lot of, you know, step-by-step, hey, you know, here's my next idea. Here's a how-to, my 5 tips for. I never create content like that. Like never, ever. That's what my newsletter is for. You got to get on my email list for that stuff. But, you know, the content is already there. So within the community, it pretty much runs itself. People ask questions, other people answer. Maybe they tag me, you know, if things are, you know, going sideways or whatever. But honestly, we've got over 5,000 people in that group now. I don't even have Facebook on my phone.
I love it. I have one more little kind of fact-finding question, which is when you were starting the email list, the first, call it 100 people or so, was there a live component? Was there a Facebook group or was it just the email?
I love this question. So there was the live Q&A. I knew I always wanted to do that because people need to ask questions, right? They need little tidbits here and there, little personal notes. So I definitely had that, but I did not have that Facebook community I was just talking about until I hit 1,000 subscribers to that paid membership. Again, because I know, you know, customers are what creates the community. So I needed that customer base. Sure, I probably could have started it at, you know, 100, 200, maybe 500 would have been a really good number. But at 1,000, I said, okay, they can start answering their own questions because we've got varied people here. And, you know, they could probably even, you know, it would behoove them to have the hive mind. So it wasn't until it was a very established product that I created the community.
Well, you're kind of blowing my mind today. And I think it's because I know a lot of people in the kind of content and, you know, expert knowledge, education industry, training, that kind of stuff. And what's really popular right now is to start some kind of mastermind or membership as a way to monetize. But the fear, and I see this when I talk to the people I know, the fear is that they try to launch this thing, they promote it, they pitch it, and they worry that they'll only have like 10, 15 people join, and then they'll have these live calls and it'll be two people or something like that. And that the membership then won't feel valuable because it was built on this idea that, hey, it's community. But I like the idea that if they thought of this instead as a, how do I share useful things, whatever it is for them, the templates or knowledge or videos or trainings, in a digital way that's like, hey, be a subscriber. Why don't they start their membership like that? Because then there's not really the transparency to how big it is. It could be 10 people, and then next month it could be 10 more. And then and then eventually you hit 1,000 people and say, hey, we're going to add this thing. And I think that if they think like Liz a little bit, I mean, no one can think like Liz, but if we tried, you might start a little bit smaller, not put so much pressure on yourself.
Amen. I agree. Start small. I think a lot of people, you know, we just overcomplicate things, or we try to copy what other people are doing. And even, you know, Brandon made a joke about, oh, think like Liz. But I always, in every training I do, I always have a disclaimer. And I say, you know, you are your own person. You are your own creative. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here listening to this. So don't be afraid to deviate according to your gut. Are you having a mastermind because everyone else is having a mastermind? Did you add a live call because that just sounded good and valuable? But really, you know, we're recording this. It's 2024. Who's got time for live calls, right? Like, not a lot of people. And so meet your customers where they are at, right? Even if you did do a mastermind, does everybody need to be on a call all the time? You know, I've been in the same mastermind for a few years. And every year, you know, our calls get shorter and shorter. I don't need a call, but I need you to text me back if I text you, right? As the facilitator, right? So think about what kind of responsibilities you want, how you can meet your customer where they are at, and then craft your offer from there.
I like it. I like it. So as we're coming towards the back end of the call here, I'm curious, is there anything kind of in the email marketing space, which, you know, has been around forever? Is there anything that you're just excited about in what you're doing with the newsletter or with your membership or with just email marketing in general?
Thanks for asking. I'm so excited. Brandon has asked me such good questions today. Holy crap. I'm actually really excited. And this might sound kind of, I don't know, snarky. I'm excited for the backlash of AI. I'm so excited. So in 2023, it was like, you know, the rise of AI and using everything for AI. You can automate this and download this transcript and 10 clips and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I'm even seeing a lot of my competitors, I guess you could call them, a lot of my peers, selling AI with email. And I, as someone that, I mean, I sell templates, you know, you can copy and paste them, right? But they were written by a human. And I'm not saying you can't use AI with email or for anything. You should definitely use AI. But I want to caution people about, like, okay, let me back up. Let me tell you a story about McDonald's and Chick-fil-A. Both of them are using AI in their business. Which one is succeeding, right? You go to McDonald's, there's nobody at the counter, right? You have to do your order yourself. That's a really crappy customer experience, right? You go to Chick-fil-A, they're using the exact same technology, but they have actually added employees. I live in the South. So, you know, there's a line around, there's Chick-fil-A's caused traffic where I live here in Orlando, okay? Because people love it so much. They love the experience. So I'm excited for people to, I don't know, sort of wise up that if they use AI too much, especially in their email marketing, where email is such a human to human connection, I'm excited for people to wise up and realize, actually, I don't really need AI. I just need to do what Brandon and Liz said at the top of the hour. I just need to show that I'm invested. I just need to become relatable. I just need to stay top of mind. And that is actually pretty simple, like so simple that I don't need to use ChatGPT and other things. And I'm so excited because you're going to see the most amazing results when you can just be a human talking to another human.
I hope this changes a lot of people's thoughts and approaches to email marketing. Because, yeah, I think you could easily go down the lazy road And I haven't seen one well-written thing that I would want to read as a human that was written by AI without a lot of creative intervention. So I love tools. I'm a big tools fan, but the creativity of who you are as a person, I'll stand behind that till the cows come home, because I think when you are the business of you and you are connecting and trying to get people to buy in, they're buying in because it's you. And when you take that away, you suddenly are a commodity. You're no longer what makes you unique and a brand. So couldn't have said it better myself, Liz. I've had so much fun talking to you today. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much. I can't wait to see what everybody does with email.
All right, everyone. And if you forgot, go to LizWilcox.com. There's a huge pink button there. And get started. Get your newsletter built and build that business. Appreciate you guys. And we'll catch you next time.
You've just taken your marketing knowledge to another level with this episode of Brands on Brands. But we have plenty more ways to help you build a brand that matters. Head over to brandsonbrands.com for resources, as well as access to our blogs, videos, and exclusive coaching sessions with your host. Be sure to visit brandsonbrands.com.